So welcome to See Us, Hear Us. I am so honored and privileged to introduce our guest today, Angelo, who will be sharing a very compelling and inspiring story. So welcome, Angelo, to See Us, Hear Us.
Thank you very much for having me here.
Thank you for being here. So you have quite a story. You've had quite a journey, Angelo.
Absolutely. And I always say it doesn't stop here.
That's right. It never stops, right? There's always opportunity beyond every obstacle that we
experience. As long as you wake up and see another day, it's made for you to live.
Exactly. So why don't you share with our listeners a bit about your story?
Well, it all happened in 2008, July 16th to be honestly correct. And I've been fine my whole life. I've never been a person that you could say I'm sick or I need to be taken to a doctor or hospitals or anything like that. I've been fine my whole life.
How old were you at the time?
I just turned 21 years old, 2 months before this happened to me. And I was out with my girlfriend at the time. We went out. I started feeling funny. I wasn't feeling myself. So I started getting like a light headache. And I told her, let's just call her early night. Let's go back to, you know, my house. And we'll just finish the night watching a movie or something. So I called her early night. As I got in my car and we started driving back home, the headache started getting worse. I thought it was my first migraine. Never had a migraine in my life. And I thought this was my first migraine. And she kept insisting and letting her drive the rest of the way. But I told her, it'll go away. So then it got to the point that the headlights from the other side, the opposite side of the street, was bothering my eyes. So that's when I started thinking that's my life and her life, God forbid, if anything happens. Mm-hmm. So I told her, you know what, take the wheel. I got out of my car. I noticed that the left side of my body was, it felt like it was asleep, like it was paralyzed. So I had to lean against the car and I went around my car and got on the passenger side of my own car. Now, before I go any further, being in the passenger side of your own car feels very different.
Sure.
It feels like it's not, you know, it's your own car, but you're on the passenger side of your own car. I mean, it felt kind of funny. I just got to throw that out there.
And you had never experienced any symptoms prior to that time?
Never did. Just was out of nowhere. Like I said, I never was sick, never was hospitalized, you know, never was hospitalized or anything like that. Never had any symptoms. I mean, I had headaches here and there, but stress from work, school, you know, nothing out of the norm.
Right, life.
Exactly. So then she kept insisting, you want me to take you to the hospital? And I was like, no hospital. You know, like, it's just a real bad migraine or whatever. I don't know what's going on. So before I know it, she told me to put the seat back. So I lied back on my passenger side. I felt like I closed my eyes no more than 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. Before I knew it, we was in front of the house. She said, we're here. And she had to like hold me on the left side so I could go up the stairs to my room on the second floor in the house. And I told her, I put a movie on. And I told her, you know what, let me go take a quick shower. You know, your showers make you feel good.
Mm-hmm.
So I figured, you know, if I take a shower, I'm going to feel better. And then, you know, watch the movie together and then whatever. And just go on from there. So I took a quick shower. I went back to my room, put on, you know, some shorts, put on my shirt. As I sat right next to her, she was telling me, this is a good movie. So I sat next to her, ready to lie back. I blacked out. That was right there. Just blacked out and I fainted right in the middle of my bed. Now, if anybody was to ask me, how does it feel to faint? My answer is going to sleep and having a dream. I dreamt I was falling from the sky, my back facing towards the ground, positioned as if I was lying on my back. And it was a constant fall. It was a never-ending fall. And I see the sky and the clouds parted, and I saw what I believe it was the sun.
Mm-hmm.
The light was beaming right on me. But it was a constant fall, but it was a slow fall. And I kept hearing her voice, baby, baby, what's wrong? Baby, stop, mm-hmm. Please wake up, stop, you're scaring me. Baby, oh my God. And nothing, I just kept hearing her voice, just panicking, and it was a never-ending fall, like I said. She quickly ran to my mother's room, waking her up in the middle of the night, saying I threw up and then fainted. I don't remember throwing up,
mm-hmm.
but I just remember just fainting and just blacking out. So my mother ran to my room, waking me up. When I woke up, I was in my mother's arms. My room was spinning nonstop in circles. I love roller coasters and I love rides, but that was one ride experience I did not enjoy.
Right. You weren't ready for that.
And my room was spinning nonstop in circles. My mom says, baby, how do you feel? My answer while holding the right side of my head was, I feel crazy. And when I said that, I threw up. Now, apparently that was the second time I threw up. I thought that was the only time I threw up, but I threw up right before I fainted on the bed. So my mother told my stepfather to pick me up because they were going to take me to the hospital. They took me to the nearest hospital, which is St. John's Hospital in Far Rockaway, Queens. Mm-hmm. They took me there. So my stepfather picked me up, put me in the car. They raced to the hospital. And there, they couldn't do anything. They kept on asking my mom, did I have a bad fall? Did I get hit in the head? Was I in a fight? And my mom was like, no, he just went out with his girlfriend. They went out to eat. They stayed out. They went out to eat. And my mom kept on saying, he ate pizza. Because in that time, they were talking about E. coli found in tomato sauces that were put in pizzas. I don't know if anyone remembers that, but mm-hmm. that was a big thing on the news. So my mother thought it was that. My mother told my girlfriend, see, you guys are always going out eating. You guys can never eat at home. So she thought it was food poisoning.
So the emergency room could not treat you?
No.
Why?
They didn't have the right equipment, they said. So they said an ambulance is on its way here to pick up his son and transfer him to LIJ Hospital. Mm-hmm. So my mom got in the ambulance with me and took the longest ride of her life, she said, because they said I wasn't able to, to move, with the bumps or anything like that. So they had to take a slow ride. Arriving at LIJ, my mother said she had to fill out some papers, sign some papers, because they were going to have to do an incision in my head to drain out all of the blood, which resulted in over two liters. And from there, I went into a deep coma. From there, they transferred me to their main hospital, which was North Shore Hospital. Now it's called Northwell. Mm-hmm. And I woke up.
Did they place you in the coma? Was it an induced coma?
Yes, it was an induced coma. And I woke up 3 weeks later at NYU Hospital because they said when I woke up, I was going to need intense therapy. So when I woke up from NYU, I was like, where am I? My mom was like, we're at NYU. I was like, what? So I was like, what happened? You didn't pay the rent? Because I went from St. John's Hospital to LIJ Hospital to North Shore Hospital and then woke up 3 weeks later at NYU Hospital. I was like, what happened? You didn't pay the rent?
And you didn't know how much time passed.
Exactly. I really didn't. I really didn't know 3 weeks passed by. Mm. Honestly, it's the longest sleep of my life, I guess you could say.
Sure.
So from there, my mother, she looked at me, she laughed, she said, baby, you're going to be just fine.
So you woke up in NYU Hospital?
Correct.
And you remember that time?
I remember waking up and seeing my mother, the only person in my room. Her back was facing me and she was crying. And I remember trying to jump out of my bed to go comfort her, not realizing she's there to comfort me, mm-hmm. And
what did the doctors tell you at that point at NYU?
Well, I don't remember much after that. Mm-hmm. After that, it was just like my mother turned around and she came to me and she held my hand. And I told my mother, are you okay? And she was like, no, are you okay? And I was like, and I just started telling my mom, I'm sorry. For some reason, I don't know why I thought I got into a car accident. Because mm-hmm. at that time, just like anybody else at my age, was always going out with the car. So my mother, I remember my mother telling me, the less you drive, the better, the safer you are, You're putting yourself at risk when driving, going out, or, hanging out or whatever. So I told my mom, I'm sorry, I should have listened to you. My mom would go, why do you keep on saying that? And I was like, because if I would have listened to you, I wouldn't be here. My mom was like, what do you think happened to you? And I told my mother, I got into a car accident. And my mom was like, that's not what it was. And she refreshed my memory. And then everything came to me. The whole night came to me. Like what I just told you, I was out with my girlfriend. Mm-hmm. And then, came home. That's when I fainted.
And did the doctors at NYU then diagnose you?
What do you mean by that?
Did they diagnose you with, I understand you had an arterial vein malformation, correct?
Yes. They say that this must have been since birth.
Right.
But, my question was, why weren't they able to see that, when I was born? And the answer was that I came out crying, so there was no need for checking.
Correct.
So I told them, so you mean I fooled them? Because, why else, So mm-hmm. I was like, I should have been a good actor then.
When they diagnosed you, Angelo, at that point, what did they tell you? What was your prognosis? Like, what did they say your life would be like?
Well, first of all, they said I was going to be in a wheelchair for 2 years, which I was in a wheelchair for less than a year because I wanted it. I wasn't born in a wheelchair. So I knew what it was to walk. I knew what it was to jump around, run. And I didn't feel comfortable from the bed to a wheelchair, back to bed at night.
Mm-hmm.
So literally I wasn't moving, you know, and I didn't like that at all.
Right.
Plus being in a rehabilitation, I end up gaining so much weight. I end up being 200 something pounds. Mm-hmm. And I was like, this is not me I'm looking at, you know, in the mirror.
Right. So you left NYU Hospital and you went to rehab.
Correct. And they put me in a rehabilitation, which didn't work out. The story with that is I don't have too much memory there at all.
Okay.
My mother came to visit me on Halloween because they were having a Halloween party. And my mother went to the gymnasium and couldn't find me there. So my mother kept asking around, have you seen my son Angelo or his aide? And nobody could answer my mother. So my mother finally went up to my room, she says, and she found me again. She found me on the bed against the headboard with no clothes on, just my underwears, I guess you could say. And I was basically staring into space in the pitch black dark with the lights off.
Mm-hmm.
So my mother took me, put my clothes on, put me in the wheelchair, and had me transferred to another rehabilitation.
Mm-hmm.
So that was that, you know. So much for that rehabilitation, I guess you could say.
What part of the brain was affected in your VA malformation?
Well, it was found in a spot of the brain called the control center. It was slightly to the right side, which why it affected my left side of the body.
Correct.
But they said I was a miracle boy because I had over 2 liters of blood.
Mm-hmm.
And that if it was to burst, I wouldn't be here today. And if I were to be here, I would be in one of those wheelchairs with, you know,
mm-hmm.
the equipment and all that stuff, you know, connected to me.
So you were very focused on getting better and feeling more like yourself.
Absolutely. I mean, when I was transferred to the second rehabilitation, my memory started coming to me. Of mm-hmm. course, with the help of myself, what I would do every day is I told my mother to give me a book and a pen. So every day, every hour on the hour, I had a watch on that beeped every hour on the hour. It would beep. And I would go to my back pocket, which I would take out the book, and I would write, where am I at? Where am I coming from? And where am I going?
Mm-hmm.
And I was doing that every single day. So if I couldn't remember something I did the day before, all I had to do is go to that page and read a few lines, and then it all came to me.
Mm. It's amazing.
So basically, I did my own therapy.
So your memory was impacted, right? Some of your muscle control.
It was really affected.
Yeah, the left side of your body.
I wasn't able to bend my leg at all. So when I would sit like if I was hanging out, like parlaying. And which later on, I needed to get another surgery, which was a baclofen pump to help relieve spasticity from my leg and be able to bend it. So there goes another surgery. I had to do another one.
So after your rehab stay, you went home?
Correct, yes.
You went home. Do you remember at what point in time that was? So if the injury was diagnosed in 2008, when did you go back home?
Well, I was in a rehabilitation for a year and 10 months. So after that, you know, I came home. I went back home.
Mm-hmm.
And I went back to college.
Good
for
you.
Because I said to myself, you know, I missed a lot. I was attending college when this happened to me. The same time it happened, around the same time. So on my way of leaving the rehabilitation, they go, what are you going to do now that you're leaving from here? I was like, well, I'm going to go back to school. They're like, good for you. And I said to them, you know what's so good about being a TBI patient? He goes, what's that? I said, at least I have a reason to be forgetting things. What's everyone else's reason?
Exactly.
And he looked at me and he goes, you know what? You're absolutely right. You're a bright young man, you know. Mm-hmm. You're going to do good in life.
It's a good attitude.
And I was like, thank you. I appreciate that. Because no one is perfect. If you believe that you're perfect, you're never going to be happy.
Isn't that the truth? Yes.
It definitely is. That's why I'm saying it.
So tell us what happened. Are you still home now?
Yes, ma'am.
So who do you live with?
I live with my mother and my stepfather.
So it's your mom and your stepfather and you.
Yeah, I have 2 younger brothers.
So talk to us a little bit about once you got home. So this was probably about 2010. So it was about 13 years ago. Tell us what has happened till now. Oh, these 13 years, what else has happened? You went back to college. You're feeling much better about yourself, right? You clearly have a very remarkable attitude and approach to your life. Tell us how you arrived there.
In car. Just kidding. No, it's just, it never stops here, you know. As long as you, like I said, as long as you wake up and see another day, it's meant for you to live to the fullest. Mm-hmm. So if it's meant for you, then take advantage of it. Tomorrow's not guaranteed, mm-hmm. but you still have to live for tomorrow.
So where did you get your philosophy from?
Paying attention in life. Mm-hmm. There's two types of smarts in life. There's book smarts and there's street smarts. Mm-hmm. And I'm very fortunate to have both. Mm-hmm. It's called paying attention. Paying attention doesn't mean being nosy. It just means paying attention to your surroundings, what goes on around you.
So who inspires you, Angela?
My mother.
So tell us.
100%. 100%. My mom is she's a go-getter, you know. She's always been a role model for me, you know, and still is. My mother raised me as a single parent, and I give her a lot of credit for that. Mm-hmm. You know, she was there when this happened to me. Every single day, she took off work for 2 years to visit me every single day. And just by her walking into my room in the rehabilitation, it motivated me to want to get out of bed, even though I knew I couldn't walk. But it's just like that motivation, that feeling that you can't get no medicine from any doctor, you know?
Ain't that the truth?
It's that pure love. Mm-hmm.
So mom really served as the lead for your healing process, right?
Absolutely. And I don't consider myself a mother's boy, a mama's boy, but a mother's love is everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's terrific. So tell us a little bit about your life today. What are you doing now?
Right now, just doing therapy. It's, you know, my walking gait is so much better. I don't have a cane no more. I used to call my cane my wife. People used to say, why you call her your wife? And I said, because she's by my side through good and bad. And she keep me on my 2 feet.
There you go.
So when people say, where's your wife now? I say, well, she's a housewife now. She stays at home. And I tell them, isn't every relationship and marriage supposed to be based on trust? They're like, yes. I said, so is she trusting me to go out on my own? You know, like I said, like, you know, stuff like that, it makes you feel good. Mm-hmm. And I know how far I came. So why not laugh about it? You know, I'd rather me laugh about it than someone else laugh about it, first mm-hmm. of all.
So exactly. So do you receive therapies and services in your home?
Actually, no. I go to a rehabilitation in East Meadow called STARS. I go there once a week now because, like, I have, like, all other things I do in a week. So, you know, once a week, I think it's all right now.
What services do you receive there?
Occupational therapy at the moment. Mm-hmm. So I do occupational therapy. I focus on that. Then when I'm done, I try to jump back to physical therapy. Then when I'm done with that, I go back to occupational therapy if I still need it, you know. Mm-hmm. Before I was doing both in one, like two in one, like both services in one day. But I just felt like it was just too much. I want to focus on one thing at a time because, like I said, my role model is a baby crawls before a baby stands up and walks. Mm-hmm. That's to let you know that everything, you know, you're not supposed to rush into anything. You know, you be patient, but at the same time, keep striving.
And what services do you receive here at Family Residences and Essential Enterprises?
Oh, well, here it's just a get back to work type program, which I think I'm ready for that. I mean, it's been so long. Before I was hospitalized, I've always been working. I've always.
What did you do before your injury?
I used to be a bartender. I was a waiter. I would do valet parking. Mm-hmm.
And what are you hoping to do next?
Whatever it's given to me, you know, mm-hmm. whatever opportunities I'm able to get.
What would be your ideal opportunity, Angela? What would you like to do?
Just to continue to be happy and just making money at the same time. Mm. Like, why not, right?
Why not? So you don't have an idea of what kind of work you'd like to do?
Not at the moment because it's not going to be my career, right? I mean, right. I would like to go back to school and continue that, of course.
What were you going to school for?
Well, I was going to school for radiography. MRI.
MRI technician?
Correct, exactly. MRI technician.
Well, that would be great. That would be a great journey.
For when this happened, like, so then that me being hospitalized put me on pause. It didn't put a stop on it. It just put it on pause.
So what are some other things that you do outside of your therapies, outside of STARS, outside of Free?
You mean as a hobby?
Yes.
Well, I write. I like to write. Like, I write raps, like music and stuff like that.
You do?
Yes, I do that on my own time.
Well, good for you. Maybe you'll sing us one someday.
Well, that sounds good.
Prep it up.
You got it.
Prep it up. We'll have you back to sing us a song. So you write music?
Correct. Yes, I do.
Do you plan on writing a book?
A lot of people say that, like, I should write a book about my mm-hmm. life. But I don't know. It sounds very interesting, and I'm sure a lot of people would like it. But it's true. I mean, I went back to the rehabilitation where I was at for a year and 10 months to inspire others out of there. Mm-hmm. And I had more than half the people, like, crying, including staff that knew me from there. A lot of them gave me hugs, and they were like, you know what? When you were here, I never knew what exactly happened to you until now. And like, it's great to see that, you know, your posture's up and you're still moving forward. I'm like, well, I could cry about it or just man up and just keep moving forward.
But you do understand that that's a unique perspective, right? That's why people are so compelled.
No, absolutely. Yeah, definitely.
Right?
Yeah.
It really is. Because very often when we are presented with obstacles, somehow it just takes our life over. Some people just don't have the resiliency and or the foresight or the vision for their own life the way you do.
I mean, life is what you make it, right?
You better believe it.
Yeah.
But it's not always so easy for people, right, to overcome those obstacles. So,
no, it's true. It's true. But I'm not everyone else.
Correct. And that's why your story can really help so many people out there that are listening right now. And what advice would you give people who are listening who may be confronted with similar challenges?
Every day above ground is a blessing.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what you do, remember, there's always someone else who's going through something far worse than you are that very moment. So instead of looking at it as why me, look at it like this. Why not me? If I'm strong to overcome this, then so be it.
That's a very good attitude. So let me ask you this question. What recommendations would you have? Is this something that people should be doing to develop a better attitude towards life outside of therapies?
Wake up every morning, look at yourself in the mirror and just smile and say, this is my day. You know, why not listen to something that you know you want to hear? You know what you want. So give yourself what you want.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't cost a thing. It doesn't cost anything.
Well, I am certainly hopeful that you are going to come back and sing for us.
Well, I don't do singing.
Well, rapping. Isn't that rapping, singing?
Yeah. I mean, I could come around Christmas.
I'm a little outdated, so you need to update
I could come around Christmas and do rapping if you want.
Perfect. Oh, that's a good idea. There you go. A little play on words.
There you go.
And I think you really should consider writing a book to tell your story.
A lot of people tell me the same thing, yes.
I think it would really help a lot of people.
And I would love that.
Well,
I definitely would. We all need a welcome hand. No one is perfect.
You better believe it. We all need someone, right?
Absolutely.
So we really want to thank you for taking the time to share your very inspiring story. And thank you for being a part of See Us, Hear Us.
Thank you for having me here.